commentary track presents Radio Movies, classic radio shows based on classic films, with your host, Frank Thompson.
Hello, beloved listeners. Welcome to episode 10 of Radio Movies. Tonight's offering is His Girl Friday, starring Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell, the stars of the original film directed by Howard Hawks. This aired on March 30th, 1941 on the Screen Guild Theater. Now, His Girl Friday is a remake of The Front Page. It was first a play by Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur. That was a hit play about a newspaper office. And it was an interesting twist because it was a comedy and a drama. And there are actually really stark shifts between the comedy and drama in this film. But it mostly comes off as a comedy. It was made into a film in 1931, directed by Louis Milestone, starred Pat O'Brien and Adolf Monju. And Adolf Monju had, up to that point, played mostly really sophisticated gentlemen, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes a mixture. It was kind of a shock to the industry when he was cast as this conniving, fast-talking newspaper editor. That film, The Front Page, is beautifully directed, and it really puts the lie to all those people who keep saying that early talkies were just staid productions where the camera's planted and there's a microphone and a light fixture and everybody has to hang around. This film, the camera almost never stops moving. The Front Page was known for its rapid-fire dialogue. If you are familiar with the period, 1930-31, when the film was made and released, you'll see that this film moves at a much faster pace in terms of at least the way people talk than many movies of its time. So it was really great dialogue and fast dialogue. Now, Howard Hawks decided he would make it even faster. Now, the way he told it, and I'm basing this mostly on the interview he did with Joseph McBride, who has been a three-time guest on the commentary track, and Joe McBride's great book, Hawks on Hawks, which first came out in the 70s, has recently, I think just in the last year or so, been reprinted. I urge you to read it if you haven't. It's really a great book of interviews with Hawks. The way Hawks told it to Joe was that he was at a dinner party one night talking about what great dialogue Hecht and MacArthur had written for the play. And to prove it, he went and got a script and asked a woman guest to read a few pages with him. So Hawks read the editor's lines and the woman read the reporter's lines. And that's when it occurred to him, he said, that the part of Hildy Johnson worked better as a woman. So he called Ben Hecht, who was in New York at the time, and ask him if it would be okay with him to do that, and also if Hecht would help him to do the adaptation. Hecht made a trade with him. He said, I'm having trouble with the script. This is all according to Hawks, of course. Hecht said, I'm having trouble with the script. If you'll help me work out my problems, I'll help you work out yours. So Hawks got him out to California, and they apparently both helped each other, because the script for His Girl Friday turned out to be an improvement over the original Front Page script. At least it is to my way of thinking. I've seen His Girl Friday with an audience, and in fact it played here in Los Angeles in the last remaining seats several years ago, so that it was a huge theater and a large audience of a couple of thousand people, and you really missed about half the dialogue because of the laughter. It was just rolling laughter throughout. So it's a great, funny film. Columbia originally wanted Irene Dunne for the role, which was natural enough because she and Cary Grant appeared in several films. And in fact, Ralph Bellamy had often been the foil for Irene Dunne and Cary Grant in films like The Awful Truth and others. But Irene Dunne didn't really feel that the part was big enough for her. I'm not quite sure what version of the script she read, because Hildy Johnson is really the driving force of this film. She withdrew, and then they replaced her with Rosalind Russell. I said earlier that the film contained some fast talking. According to the press materials, and you've always got to take what the press book releases as fact with a little bit of a grain of salt. But according to the press book, Grant and Russell spoke at a rate of 175 to 250 words a minute throughout the film. And that same press book said, an average person speaks around 80 words a minute. Now, is any of this true? I've never counted it. I've never counted my own minute-by-minute speech, but I don't find it too hard to believe because they talk like the proverbial house of fire throughout this film. The radio adaptation is a little less frenetic than the film, I think possibly because with the film you have the physicality to help you get through, and even if you don't quite understand some of what they're saying with all the fast talking and the overlapping dialogue, you at least see the body language and everything works out really fine. In this case, they only had the voice to work with, and so they made it a little bit more clear and concise. It works fine. This is, as so often happens in these radio adaptations, it's a half-hour show, so it streamlines the plot a great deal, but the basic plot of the editor and the reporter who have just gotten a divorce, and he keeps trying to lure her back, all that is still there. Now, I recently watched the front page. It's really fun because it's a really pre-code film, but it wasn't as racy in its dialogue as the play was, because in 1930 and 31, you could do a lot of things on the stage that you couldn't do in movies. But I love the fact that the very last line in the film is something that you couldn't get away with just a couple of years later, which is Walter Burns, the editor, has given his star reporter Hildy Johnson a watch in a very sentimental send-off, and as soon as he's gone, he gets on the phone, asks somebody to find out what the first stop of the train is, and he says, call the police and tell them to meet him there. The son of a bitch stole my watch. But just as he says bitch, he hits the typewriter so that the bell rings. But he clearly says "be," and then the bell rings, so nobody on earth could mistake what he was actually saying. And after the production code came in, you wouldn't have been able to even hint at a line like that for a long time. Is that why we love the pre-code films? No, I find the scantily clad ladies is the reason we like them, but there aren't any in His Girl Friday or The Front Page. Nevertheless, funny film. Both of them are terrific films. The two original really, really stand alone, and they're different enough that each is a unique cinematic experience. So I urge you to watch them both. It's also performed on the radio several times, and in fact, in 1940, the same year the film was released, there was a Lux radio broadcast with Claudette Colbert and Fred McMurray, which actually sounds like a great cast. You could have made an alternate universe version of that film in 1940 with that cast, and it would have also been terrific, I betcha. But we'll play that one of these days. But for now, let's listen to this version of His Girl Friday with Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell, and I'll talk to you later.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Your host, the director of the Star's own theater, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everyone. Your neighborhood good Gulf dealer and the Gulf Oil Companies welcome you to the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. During the next half hour, you're going to hear a rollicking yarn about the craziest business in the world, the newspaper game. It's His Girl Friday, starring Rosalind Russell and Cary Grant, with music by Oscar Bradley's Gulf Orchestra with Frank Tours conducting. In just about two quick ticks of a watch, our two box office champions will come out of their corners fighting. While we're waiting for that to happen, I'd just like to remind you folks that today you're getting a lot more car for your money than ever before. And you might naturally think that the bigger the car, the more complicated the engine, the more care you'd have to give it. But thanks partly to your friend, the good Gulf dealer, cars today are actually easier to care for. Of course, there are some mighty important things to see to. Such things, for instance, as checking the oil, the water, and the tires. If things like that aren't done and done regularly, you may be in for a heap of trouble. That's why it's just plain common sense to stop at your local Gulf dealer's. You see, he's trained himself to look after such things. Every month, he gets a special 8-page folder with information about the latest cars, how to care for them, what things to look for that might cause you trouble. So give him a chance to give you really top-notch service. Tomorrow, stop at the sign of the Gulf Orange Disc at your neighborhood good Gulf dealer's. And here come the stars, Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell are just making their entrances on our Gulf Theater stage. The house lights fade, and here are Rosalind Russell as Hildy Johnson and Cary Grant as Walter Burns. I'll play the part of Bruce Baldwin. And now, his Girl Friday. The office of Walter Burns, managing editor of the Morning Post. The door opens to admit Hildy Johnson, ex-star reporter and former wife of Walter Burns, who has dropped in for a farewell visit with her one-time husband. Walter's busy talking on the phone and doesn't see Hildy.
Don't give me that stuffy. You drag your bloody carcass out of that juke joint. Find the governor. You are too in a juke joint. I can hear music through the phone.
You tell him, Walter.
Shut up. Now listen, Duffy, the governor has to sign that reprieve, because if Earl Williams gets hung tomorrow morning, the Morning Post is washed up. Now find the governor. Of all the petrified pit. Hildy!
Hello, Walter.
Well, Hildy. Hey, it's good to see you.
Thanks, Walter.
Let's see, how long has it been?
Well, I was in Reno 6 weeks, then Bermuda, about 4 months, Walter.
Ah, Hildy, you look wonderful. Yep, you look like the latest edition right off the press.
And aren't you sorry your subscription's been canceled?
Hildy, I could cry. You did the wrong thing. You never should have divorced me. Makes a fellow lose all faith in himself. Gives him a feeling he wasn't wanted.
Now, that's a beautiful understatement, but you see, that's what divorces are for.
Nonsense, Hildy. You got the old-fashioned idea that divorces last till death do us part. Well, divorce doesn't mean anything today. Hildy, we've got something between us. Nothing can change.
Oh, I suppose that's true in a way.
Atta girl.
I just wish you weren't such a stinker. Now, why did you promise not to fight our divorce and then do everything you could to gum up the whole work?
Oh, well, I was only a husband trying to protect his home.
What home?
What home? Don't you remember the home I promised you since we got back from our honeymoon 5 years ago?
No, what a honeymoon. Instead of 2 weeks in Atlantic City, we spent 2 weeks in a caved-in coal mine with a man named Krupski.
Yeah, wasn't that a whale of a story? Oh, look, what's the use of fighting, Hildy? You come back to work on the paper, and if you find we can't get along in a friendly way, we'll get married again.
What? Oh, Walter, you are wonderful in a loathsome sort of way. Well, thanks be to heaven, you're no longer my husband and no longer my boss. Look, third finger, left hand.
Very pretty ring.
Isn't it?
Yep. Wonderful what you can buy at the dime stores.
Now, this was given to me, Walter. I am getting married. And I'm also getting as far away from the newspaper business as I can get.
Really? What do? Get some poor guy drunk, make Google eyes at him?
Why, you bumble-headed baboon, if
all
you don't
right,
stop talking...
All right, go ahead, get married. I know his type, one of those matrimonial draft dodgers. Where'd you meet this heel?
On the beach in Bermuda.
What is he, a beachcomber? What's his name?
His name is Bruce Baldwin, and he's
Baldwin
in the insurance business. Hmm. And he's kind and he's sweet, and he treats me like a woman.
Well, how did I treat you, like a water buffalo?
And he wants a home and children.
Ooh, it sounds more like a guy I ought to marry. Don't you think I ought to meet this paragon and, well, you know, sort of congratulate him?
That's so sweet of you, Walter, but when you're sweet, somebody always gets loused up.
Oh, no. Hildy, you don't mean to say you're afraid to have me meet him.
Afraid? Now, why should I be afraid? I'll call him in. He's right outside.
Baldwin? I knew a Baldwin once. Pickpocket in St. Louis. Couldn't be.
Oh, Bruce.
Yes, Hildy?
Come in, dear.
Is anything wrong?
No, everything's under control. Bruce, I want you to shake hands with the best managing editor and the worst husband I ever had, Walter Burns.
Well, this is a mighty fine pleasure, Mr. Burns.
Well, thank you, Bruce. Give me back my hand, will you? Well. You're the lucky man, huh? You know, Bruce, certainly hate to lose Hildy. She's a fine newspaper man. If I ever needed her, this is the time.
Now, no office,
is that
Walter.
Earl Williams' case,
well,
Bruce.
I'm afraid I'm behind in the news, Mr. Burns. Who is Earl Williams?
Well, he was just a poor little bookkeeper who lost his job. He went screwy, traveling around the parks, making soapbox speeches. A cop came to quiet him down, Bruce. Yeah, Williams shot the cop, and tomorrow morning, Williams hangs.
Well, if Williams was crazy when he did it, why doesn't the state put him away?
Well, because there's an election coming up in a few days, and the mayor is using the gallows for a bandwagon.
Yeah, the mayor would hang his own grandmother to be reelected.
Well, I'm certainly glad you told me. I won't vote for him.
Spoken like a true rover boy, Bruce.
Now, look, Walter. Don't they have to have another expert examine Williams before they hang him?
Sure, a guy named Engelhoff is going to do it. He'll say Williams is sane just like the rest.
Well, suppose he does.
What do you mean, Hildy?
Now, look, Walter, why don't you get an interview with Earl Williams?
Uh-huh.
Then print Engelhoff's statement.
Yeah, yeah.
And right alongside of it, you know, double column.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, go on.
You run the Williams interview. Uh-huh. And it says he's sane, yeah. And the interview shows he's goofy.
Oh, Hildy, it's wonderful. You could do it. You could save that poor devil's life.
Yes, I know. Oh, no, I couldn't, Walter. No, Bruce and I are taking the 4 o'clock train to his home in Albany.
Now, Hildy, we could take the 6 o'clock train if it would save a man's life.
No,
hey,
Bruce.
Listen to Bruce.
No, Bruce, I am through with this crazy business.
Well, that's all right. Now, look, Brucey boy, I'll tell you what. You persuade Hildy to do this story, you can write yourself a nice fat policy for me.
Oh, Mr. Burns, I couldn't use my wife for business purposes.
Now, wait a minute, Bruce. What's the commission on a nice fat policy of, say,
Say $10,000.
No, let's say $100,000.
Too quick. All right, $100,000. Now, wait a minute. $100,000.
Well, the commission on that would be $1,000.
Bruce, we could use the $1,000. Now, how long would it take to have Walter examined?
Oh, I could get a company doctor here in 10 minutes.
How about it, Piker?
Oh, I thought you meant me. Okay, get the company
doctor. All right, it's a deal. Now, look, Bruce, I'll be in the press room of the criminal courts building. That's right by the jail where they've got Williams. Now, you phone me as soon as you've got Walter's check and be sure it's certified.
Huh. Maybe you'd like my fingerprints, too.
No, thanks. I've still got those. Hey, Bruce, how much money have you got on you?
$500.
It'll be safer with me.
But, Hildy...
Now, really, dear, I know what I'm doing. Mr. Burns might get you into a crap game.
But, Hildy, I don't gamble.
Darling, I knew a little man once who didn't drink till he met Walter Burns. Now they've got him in a bottle at Harvard. Now, let me have the money, dear.
Well,
please.
All right, here.
Thank you, darling. Now, Walter, no tricks.
No tricks, Hildy. Honest, across my heart. I'll even go further than that.
I know. You'll double-cross mine.
Criminal Court's press room. Who? Hey, Hildy, it's for you.
Thanks, Jake. Hildy Johnson speaking. Oh, hello, Bruce. You got the check? Certified? Oh, fine, dear. Wait a minute, though. Maybe it isn't so fine. Look, Bruce, put the check in your hat. In your hat, dear. Yeah, I know it sounds silly, Bruce, but do it for me. And don't let Mr. Burns see you. That's fine, dear. Now go right down to the railroad station and wait for me. I'll be there just as soon as I can.
Hello, Walter Burns speaking. Who? Oh, yes, Louis. Look, I've got a job for you. No, you don't have to croak anybody. All you have to do is pick up a beefy gent by the name of Bruce Baldwin at the railroad station. He's got my certified check in his wallet. And I want that check back, you understand? Great. Oh, Louis. Do you think you could fix it so that Mr. Baldwin would be very busy around 4 o'clock? Fine, thanks.
Hello, Hildy Johnson speaking. Yes, Bruce. Where are you? You're what? In jail? For stealing whose watch? His name is Louis. Now, listen, don't worry, dear. Just hang up and I'll get you out of there right away. That double-faced, triple-crossing, two-timing snake. I'll show him he can't. Hello? Hello, Walter. I've got some news for you. Now get this, you double-crossing chimpanzee. If I ever lay my two hands on you again, I'll hammer that monkey skull of yours so hard it'll ring like a Chinese gong. Oh, you don't you? Well, maybe Louis can tell you why Bruce is in jail for stealing somebody's watch. Goodbye, you run-over heel. I'm going to Albany, and you can go to... Well, boys, you heard it. So long, you copy slaves.
Oh, you're leaving, Hildy. It does my heart good to hear Walter Burns told off.
When we see you again, Hildy.
You in the criminal courts building are never going to see me again, Jake. I'm going to be a wife and not a news-getting machine for a two-faced maniac. I'm never even going to read a newspaper again. I'm going to Albany and settle the...
Hey, what's that? Hey, it's a jailbreak.
Hey, look, it's Williams. He's crawling along the edge of that roof there.
Get out of my way. Hello, Murphy speaking. Give me the desk.
Hey,
wait,
Mike. Get this.
Hello.
Earl Williams.
Hello, Walter,
just...
Hildy. Shut up, you lughead, and get this. Earl Williams just escaped from the county jail. Yes, don't worry, Walter. Hildy's on the job.
Goes on. I thought you were on the job.
I am, Weasel. But I gotta get the exclusive story, and I've got it now on Williams and how he escaped. But it cost me $500 to tear it out of the warden.
Never mind that. What's the story?
You'll get it when you pay me the $500. That money belongs to Bruce.
Oh, you'll get it back. I swear it on my mother's grave.
All right, wait. Just a minute. Your mother's alive.
All right, on my grandmother's grave. Don't be so technical.
Well, send over the money and you'll get the story. Otherwise, no soap.
What's the matter with you, Hildy? Why worry about a little money? I'll see if you get it right away. Hold the wire a second. Louis.
Yeah, boys.
I need $500 worth of counterfeit money.
No, I just happen to have it on me.
Thanks. Hello, Hildy. The money's on the way. Louis is starting right now. He'll be there with the 500 in 15 minutes.
He's got to pass the bank anyway.
Okay, Walter. Wait a minute. It's after 3 o'clock. The banks are closed.
Not to Louis. Now listen, Hildy. While you're waiting, see if you can dig up an eyewitness.
Okay, Walter. I'll call you back a little later. What a day.
Come in here, Fred. I think we can... Oh, hello, Miss Johnson. I thought this room was vacant.
Greetings, Sheriff Hartwell.
Hello, Hildy.
And the mayor, too. Well, I imagine after what's happened, you two boys want to be alone. Be seeing you on the front page.
Huh? Did you hear that, Sheriff? This blunder of yours will make me the laughing stock of the town.
No, Mayor. Williams can't get away.
If he does, I'm absolutely washed up in next week's election. Why, his hanging was one of my solemn campaign promises. What do you want?
My name is Pettibone.
I don't care who you are. I said, what do you want?
I'm looking for Sheriff Peter B. Hartwell.
I'm the mayor. He's the sheriff.
Well, go away, Mr. Pettibone. I'm busy.
But, Sheriff, I've got a message for you from the governor. It's a reprieve for Earl Williams.
What? What does this mean, Sheriff? You promised me there wasn't going to be a reprieve.
Oh, now, Fred, how did I
know? Mr. Pettibone, who else was there when the governor gave you that reprieve?
Why, nobody, Mayor. He was out fishing. Hmm.
Hello? Yes, yes, this is the sheriff.
What?
Holy Moses. Fred, the rifle squad has Williams trapped right up on the roof.
Cover up that mouthpiece. Listen, you, Mr.
Pettibone.
You never arrive at this reprieve.
Yes,
see?
But I...
Here's $100 that says you didn't. You understand? You never brought this reprieve.
Well, I don't know whether my wife would
Here,
like
you
the...
got her this address. Now, you forget you ever had a wife. You told the mayor sent you. Goodbye.
Fred, the captain in charge of the rifle squad, is still on the phone.
Good.
Well, what'll I tell him to do about Williams?
You tell him to shoot the kill.
I'm back in the press room. I just called to say goodbye.
Oh, you got the money?
Yes, Louis brought the $500, and I'm going to get Bruce out of jail on the way to the railroad station.
No hard feelings, Hildy.
No, of course there's no hard feelings. Walter.
What's the matter?
There's someone at the window. He crawled down from the roof. Walter, listen.
Drop that phone.
Williams.
Stand back.
Put that gun down, Earl.
No, I won't.
You're not going to shoot me, Earl. Why, I'm your friend.
I don't believe you. You're going to tell them I'm here, so they'll hang me.
Earl, put down that gun.
I'm going to kill you.
Earl!
I guess I used all the shells. I can't shoot you. I can't shoot anybody.
Oh, Earl, you must never do that again. Give me that gun.
Oh, I'm awful tired. I couldn't go through another day like this.
I couldn't go through the last minute.
Oh, they'll hang me now, right out there. Right through the gallows.
No, they won't. No, now, listen, don't worry, Earl. I'll save you. If there were only some place to... Earl, get in that desk.
No, it's... Too late.
No, it isn't too late. The desk. The other reporters won't find you in there. Get in the big roller top desk and pull the lid down. Come on, Earl. Get in.
Well, all right.
You can trust me, Earl. Now listen, pull the lid down and remember, whatever happens, don't make a sound. Hello, Walter. Are you still there? Listen, I'm all right. I really am. Now listen, stick on that hat of yours and beat it over here as fast as you can. I've got the hottest exclusive story in town wrapped up in a roller top desk. Mr. Burns, believe it or not, your ace reporter, Hildy Johnson, has just captured Earl Williams.
And that, folks, was Act One. Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell will be back following our usual brief intermission, which we will put to good use with some mighty helpful information.
A man or woman who drives a car hears a lot of talk about motor oils, and a good deal of it can be mighty confusing. And yet, any motorist can easily determine just how good a motor oil actually is. You can tell with your eyes, your ears, and your pocketbook. Take Gulf Pride motor oil, for instance. Use Gulf Pride in your car, and your eyes tell you that Gulf Pride stays up to the full mark a long, long time. Your ears tell you that Gulf Pride helps keep your motor purring like a contented kitten. And your pocketbook tells you that Gulf Pride helps keep repair bills down with a capital D. That's because Gulf Pride motor oil is refined by the famous Alclor process, a process that makes Gulf Pride more resistant to the chemical breakdown of oil that's caused by air. So, being more air resistant, Gulf Pride forms less sludge, less carbon, less engine varnish. Naturally, then, it lasts longer, gives you finer lubrication, and saves you money. So next time, let your eyes, your ears, and your pocketbook be your guide and get Gulf Pride motor oil.
And now the curtain of the Gulf Screen Guild Theater is ready to rise on the second act of Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur's great play, His Girl Friday, starring Rosalind Russell as Hildy Johnson and Cary Grant as Walter Burns, her ex-husband and managing editor of the Morning Post. It's a short time later, and Walter, in response to Hildy's excited summons, has arrived at the press room of the Criminal Courts building. He's bending over the roll-top desk where Hildy has hidden the escaped Earl Williams. Hildy, having completely forgotten that Bruce Baldwin, her fiancé, is still waiting for her to get him out of jail, is pounding out her story on the typewriter.
Give it all you got, Hildy, and get it smeared over the front page. Gerald Williams captured by the Morning Post. Hey, Williams, how are you doing in there?
Let me out. I can't stand it.
Keep quiet. I kept a blonde in there for 3 days. When's one of you got to squawk about?
Maybe he wants you to put the blonde back.
Hello? Yep, Duffy? Duffy, here's your lead for that story. The blackest page in American history. You got that? Set it up. I'll shoot you the copy just as fast as Hildy pounds it out.
And Walter, Duffy. I just happened to think.
Hello, Duffy. You still there? All right, look. Send over Butch and a dozen strong arm guys. I want to move Williams and the desk out of here.
Walter, I've got to go.
We'll load out the window with pulleys, you dope. Can you imagine that? Hey, Hildy, where do you think you're going?
I've got to get Bruce out of jail.
Are you crazy? How can you worry about a man who's resting in a nice, quiet police station while this is going on? Hildy, this is war. You can't desert me.
I've got to collect Bruce and catch that train. We're getting married.
You drooling idiot. There are 365 days in a year you can get married. How many times you got a murderer locked up in a desk? Once in a lifetime. Oh. Hildy, you've kicked over the city hall like an apricot. You got the man, the sheriff, backed against the wall. This isn't just a newspaper story. It's a career. And you stand there worrying about getting married.
Gee, Walter, I never figured it that way.
Aye, Hildy, they'll be naming streets after you. There'll be statues of you in the park. The radio'll be after you. The movies. By tomorrow morning, I bet you there's a Hildy Johnson cigar. I can see the billboards now. It says, line up with Hildy Johnson.
Oh, Walter, stop that hammering. We got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, now you're talking. Now, as soon as Butch and the boys get here, we'll move Williams and the desk over to my office. Now, sit down that typewriter. Get the story rolling.
All right, Walter. Can I call the mayor a bird of prey?
Call him anything you like. Give him the works. What the blazes happened to Butch? Why doesn't he... Is that you, Butch?
No, it's me, Bruce.
Oh, ain't so fast, you Bruce. Now, what the devil do you want? Why don't you stay in jail?
Well, I've got to talk to Hildy.
Well, come on in. I've got to keep this door shut.
Hildy. Hildy.
What? Oh, Bruce. How did you get out of jail?
Well, not through any help of yours. Will you please tell me?
I'd be trying
you
to
tell him nothing. He's a spy, Hildy.
Now, you keep out of this.
Hello? Yes, it's Walter Burns.
Hildy, what happened to
a
you?
A story, Bruce. A wonderful story.
Now, wait a minute, Butch. What do you mean you can't
come
over?
You know what I had to do, Hildy? I had to wire home for $100.
Well, really, I'm sorry, Bruce. Really, here's your $500 you gave me to keep. I'll explain everything later.
Now, listen, Butch, I'm depending on you. Wait a second. Hildy, will you please get going on that story?
Yes, Walter, excuse me,
but
Bruce,
Hildy,
please.
This isn't the money I gave
oh,
you.
Oh, I know. I spent that. I got this from Walter.
Now, get this straight, Butch. You make tracks over here.
Hildy, dear, I'm taking that 9 o'clock train.
And don't forget to bring your gang.
Are you coming to Albany with me, Hildy?
I'm pounding on you, Butch. Don't let me down.
Did you hear me? I said,
Bruce,
are you
coming? Please, I'm trying to write.
Why, Hildy.
Atta girl, Hildy.
Now, you shut up, Mr. Burns.
What?
You're doing all this to her. Hildy, I don't think you love me at all.
Oh, darn it. I broke my nail.
Yeah, see what you did? You broke her nail.
I see what you are now. You're just a reporter. A story means more to you than a clean, honest life in Albany.
Oh.
But in case you come to your senses, I'll be at the station waiting for the 9 o'clock train. Goodbye.
Now, can you imagine a guy like that? Now, come on, Hildy. Keep that typewriter hot.
Now, look here, you. I can't stay in here any longer.
Hey, Williams, get back in that desk, you mock turtle, and stay there. Don't come out again unless you hear three knocks. Like that. Now, you got that? Good. Now, sit tight. Now, how's it coming, Hildy?
Pretty good. Where's Bruce?
Bruce? Who's Bruce? Oh, Bruce! He went out to get a cup of coffee.
Oh, is he coming back?
I didn't hear what he said. Sure he's coming back.
Oh.
Hildy, you'll be back any minute. Keep that coffee rolling. Hello? Hello, Duffy? Well, where is Duffy? Oh, he is? All right. When he comes back, try to get Malone, this boy. I got a hunch Butch is ranting on us. Call me back. Well, what have you got, Hildy?
And while hundreds of the sheriff's relatives spread their reign of terror, Earl Williams was lurking just 20 yards away.
All right, pick
meanwhile, up your teeth. Meanwhile, the mayor, you double-crossing
swine. What are you in there
for? I mean you backfiring blackheart. I just remembered.
Remember what?
Bruce isn't coming back here at all. He said he was taking the 9 o'clock train.
Oh, well, in that case, he's gone by now. Don't sit there like a frozen robin. Get on with the story.
What a sap I am.
Yes, well, now you've had a nice rest. Get back to work.
I'm not going back to work, Walter Baines. Listen to me. I've still got 10 minutes to meet Bruce and catch the 9 o'clock train, and I'm going.
Now, Hildy, don't open that door.
I'm going to Bruce.
Hildy, don't!
Just don't try and stop me, that's all.
Oh, hello, Hildy.
Oh, hello, Sheriff.
We were just looking for you.
Listen, Sheriff, I've got a train to catch.
Better hold it, Sheriff.
Yeah, she and Walter Burns are cooking up something.
Now, wait a minute, boys. What do you mean by breaking in here like this?
Oh, let go of me, will you?
Ask her where Williams is.
Hildy doesn't know anything.
Hildy, I want you to talk.
All right, what do you want me to say?
What do you know about Earl Williams?
What do you know about Earl Williams?
No. I got ways of making you talk. Hildy, you're under arrest. And you too, Burns.
Who's under arrest? Listen, you insignificant, square-toed, droop-snooted spy. Do you realize what you're doing?
I'll show you what I'm doing. Burns, you're obstructing justice, and I'm going to see that you're fined $10,000.
You'll see nothing of the kind, to work.
And I'm going to begin by impounding the Morning Post property. Is that roller-top desk yours?
No!
There! Why, of course it is, Hildy. Why lie to the sheriff?
Huh?
Sheriff! I dare you to move that desk out of here.
Oh, why, yes, Sheriff. You just dare move it out.
Now, I warn you, Sheriff. You touch this desk, you'll be sued.
Oh! What was that? There's someone in that desk.
No, it was just my knees knocking, Sheriff.
You've got Williams in that desk. Stand back, everybody. Get out your guns, men.
No, wait a minute. Don't shoot him. He's harmless.
Williams is a dangerous criminal. Shoot right through the desk.
No! Call Duffy!
Keep away from that pole.
You want to get a scoop, you beagle-faced mongoose?
Everybody aim at the center. When I say three...
That's murder!
One, two...
Hello, Daily Bulletin. Hold the press.
And...
Williams!
I couldn't stay on there any longer, Miss Hildy. Go ahead, Sheriff. I give up. Go ahead, shoot me.
He's unarmed, boys. We got him.
Flash, Earl Williams, captured in criminal court's press room.
Flash, Earl Williams.
Handcuff him, boys.
Flash, Williams in desperate struggle, but police overpowered him.
Take him away, boys. I'll be with you as soon as I finish with these two.
Come on, Williams.
Ah, Duffy, the Morning Post just turned Williams over to the sheriff.
Give me that phone, Burns.
Well, Sheriff, what's all the excitement?
We got Williams, Mayor. Caught these two red-handed trying to kidnap him.
Splendid, Sheriff. I think they both get 10 years for this.
Anytime you think you can lick the Morning Post, Mayor, it's time for you to get out of town.
Yeah, we've been in worse jams than this, haven't we, Hildy?
No, Walter, we haven't.
Thanks, Ed. You forget the power that always watches over the Morning Post, Mayor. Hello, Duffy, get my lawyer.
All the lawyers in the world aren't going to...
Hey, boys.
Teddyball, I mean... Who is this man?
Why, don't you remember me, Mayor? I'm the man that brought you the Earl Williams reprieve.
Wait a minute. You don't mean a reprieve from the governor?
Of course not.
But of course, yes. And here's your money back, Mayor. My wife said I shouldn't take bribes.
Bribes? Who was trying to bribe you?
$100, that's all he gave me.
Well, the man's an imposter. I never...
Besides, he's insane.
You're both another... Why, I gave them the Earl Williams reprieve hours ago, but they gave it right back to me and $100 to forget all about it.
So you would hang an innocent man, would you?
Trying to swing an election with a rope, eh?
No, I wouldn't hang an innocent man. My dear girl, you've got the wrong attitude.
My dear man, Williams almost got the wrong altitude.
Now, let's forget this little incident. Come along, Sheriff. We'll take dear Mr. Pettibone over to the warden's office and deliver this reprieve ourselves. I'm sure it's all a little misunderstanding that might happen to anyone.
That was a tight squeeze, Walter.
Yeah. Hello. Hello, give me Duffy.
Well, of course, there was the time we stole old Lady Haggerty's stomach off the coroner's table.
Yeah, we've had some swell times, Hildy. Many laughs, but it's all over and you're doing the wise thing, Hildy. The newspaper game is a bad business. Well, you better get going. Meet Bruce.
Oh, gee, Bruce is gone by this time.
Well, send him a wire, honey. Meet him in Albany.
You really mean that, Walter?
Sure, I mean it. Now, can't you understand I'm doing something noble for once in my life? Get out of here, honey, before I change my mind.
Walter, gee, listen a minute, will you?
Now, I know I made fun of Bruce. I know I got him in Dutch. You know why?
Why, Walter?
Because I was jealous of him.
You were?
Yes, because he can give you the sort of life you want, Hildy. I'm sorry. I promise you Bruce will have no more trouble.
Well, I could stay and do the story and take the train in the morning.
No. Forget it. You better go. Hello, Duffy. Read me what you got so far.
I'll get the other phone. Hello. Yes, this is Hildy Johnson. The 43rd Street Police Station. Did you say Bruce Baldwin? Arrested again? For passing counterfeit money.
Oh, hold on, Duffy. A little trouble coming up on this end.
Sure it's counterfeit? And he says I gave it to him. Oh, I see. Goodbye.
Now, Hildy, I think I can explain. I don't blame you for being mad and... Well, if you're going to throw that telephone at me, go ahead. Get it over with.
Oh, Walter, you darling.
Oh, honey, what are you crying about? Oh, now, you never cried before.
Well, I thought you really wanted me to go away with Bruce. I thought you didn't love me.
Oh. Now, what were you thinking with, honey?
I don't know. Well, what are you standing there gawking for? Send Louis down to the jail and give Bruce some honest money so he can go back to Albany where he belongs.
Yes. Hello, Duffy. Everything's fine now. Hildy and I are coming back to the office. No, she's not quitting. We're going to be married again.
Walter, can we go on a honeymoon this time?
Certainly, darling. Gee. Duffy, you can be married together while I'm on my honeymoon.
Atlantic City, Walter?
Yeah, in Atlantic City, Hildy.
A whole 2 weeks, Walter?
Certainly, a whole two... Wait a minute. What's that, Duffy? A strike? What strike? In Albany? Oh, and I can't...
All right. We'll honeymoon in Albany.
Fine. Hey, Hildy.
What?
Well, I just thought of something. Albany.
What is it, Walter?
Hey, I wonder if Bruce has got a spare room.
Hey,
Thank you, Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell. It was swell of you to give up time from busy shooting schedules to do this performance tonight in the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, our stars contribute their performances here in the Gulf Theater, and the money which the stars would normally receive, Gulf gives instead to the Motion Picture Relief Fund toward the building of a home for the less fortunate members of the picture industry. Next week, the marquee of the Gulf Theater will read Ginger Rogers and William Powell. Ginger Rogers, in her first radio appearance since winning the Academy Award, starred with one of your favorite screen comedians, William Powell, in Lucky Partners. It's a story about a girl and a psychology-minded artist whose luck changes the minute they meet. Everything goes splendidly until they decide to go on an experimental vacation together a week before the girl is to marry another man. It's one of the funniest comedies of the season. There'll be music, of course, by Oscar Bradley's Gulf Orchestra with Frank Tours conducting. So tune in the Gulf Screen Guild Theater next Sunday night at this same time. It's William Powell and Ginger Rogers in Lucky Partners. Rosalind Russell will soon be seen in MGM's The Uniform. Cary Grant's latest for Columbia Pictures is Penny Serenade. And remember, you've a date to attend the Gulf Theater a week from tonight when we present Lucky Partners, starring Ginger Rogers and William Powell. Until next week, then, this has been Roger Pryor speaking for your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer.
I really got a kick out of that episode. Hope you did, too. Now, did anybody listen to last week's episode, The Maltese Falcon? Because I've got some splaining to do. I don't even know how this happened. My friend Stan Taffel was listening to it today as we speak. This is June 25th, 2014, for those listening in the future. Stan was listening to it, and he asked me if I normally edited my intros and outros on the show, and I said, yeah, I'll clean them up and leave out where I stutter or try to say a sentence, and then like I'm doing now, I just fumfer. And he said, well, you didn't do it on this one. And so he said, this is a mess. You got stuff, you know, you say things repeatedly, and then there's long gaps. And so when I got home, I called it up and listened to it, and sure enough, somehow the raw version of the intro had gotten into the show. I edited it. I did an edited version, and then somehow, I don't know how, just one of those mistakes that I make that nobody else makes, but I loaded it up, and it just sounds like I'm an idiot. So I went in and cleaned it up, resubmitted it to iTunes. So if you haven't heard it already, it's too late. Too late! But don't worry. I promise to screw up many, many, many times in the future, so you'll get your chance. As someone who never screws up any time is my wonderful wife, Claire McCullough, who is the greatest announcer this show ever had. She's my announcer on the radio movies and on the commentary track, and I appreciate her. I also appreciate James Hutchins, who designed both of my websites, thecommentarytrack.com and frankthompson.tv, and Mike Bolt, who wrote the theme music. I hope you'll go to my websites and order DVDs or books. I always put the DVDs of the movies that we cover in each episode, and also on the commentary track, I'll load in all books and related videos for all my guests. And all you have to do is click through my website to Amazon, and then I'll get a kickback, and you'll get what you're buying for no additional cost, not even one penny, not even one red cent, as if cents were red. And everybody's happy. So I hope that you will do that a lot, because literally everything is available on Amazon, everything. I believe you could possibly bribe a senator on Amazon. I think you could possibly buy a small Ukraine village and establish your own fiefdom. And I hope that you will do such things. Perhaps you can buy a sea creature of some kind and ride around in a subterranean kingdom of your own. And Amazon has that. I am certain Amazon has all of the above. So please consider buying whatever you're buying through my website, thecommentarytrack.com. That seems so easy, doesn't it? So easy to make me very happy, make yourself very happy with the stuff that you buy, make Amazon very happy for a faceless corporation. It would be great. Got another great show coming up for you next week. You can count on that. And in the meantime, find His Girl Friday and watch it. And be careful, because it's public domain, which means there's a lot of lousy, lousy, lousy video copies out there. So try to do a little research. I will put the best one I can find as the link on the page, thecommentarytrack.com. But try to find it, watch it, you'll like it.